all human thought, all science, all religion, is the holding of the candle to the light of the universe.
Because we gaze at the stars, or we gaze at them, because we are purifying the vistas of the universe, and of all the stars rise back, because we shall not have the last world through the sky, flee from the stars wrong, into the peace and safety of the
universe. But although they no longer lived, they would never really die.
When the universe is vast and inexplicable, and you are weak and insignificant, then you know you are playing Call of Cthulhu. This is an actual play of Call of Cthulhu 7th edition, featuring adult themes and horror. Listener discretion is advised. Find our published scenarios at starsareright.com or contact us for help unleashing your own twisted tales upon an unsuspecting world. And now, settle in, dear listener. Intrigue, high adventure, and cosmic horror await when the stars are right.
Hello and welcome back, listeners. Today we'll be playing episode 3 of The Exhibition of Dread, a scenario written by Jared Tallis and published by Stars Are Right. This scenario is available to buy and run for your own group. Just check our website or buy directly on DriveThruRPG, link below. Now, who are you all playing and how are you today, Jason?
I'm playing Leo Birtwistle and he can't help but wonder how good the acoustics are in this bathroom.
Noxicals.
I am playing Bernie McRae and if life imitates art, why am I so keen on looking at the nudie paintings?
Lydia.
Hi, I'm playing Simone Shelbourne, and I'm thinking that Maya is really taking their art seriously, because their face is now a picture.
Tyler.
I'm laughing too hard now. I was like, nah, Maya's already dead. You just didn't know that yet. We're going to sit here and not know Maya's been dead the whole time.
I'm Tyler, and I'm playing Maya Smith, and I've lost both my head and my face.
And I'm Fedra, your keeper for the day. And, well, you know, in this scenario, you really gotta face your fears.
Why?
There it is. Jason, tell us what happened last time.
Choosing to let sleeping guards lie, the students successfully enter the back room with security none the wiser. The room holds several intriguing trinkets, a landscape picture, a gramophone playing jazz, and a TV playing a scene from a ballet. Each of the students can't help but be drawn to each item with artistic curiosity, even when they begin to do strange things, such as the trees moving on a still canvas, or ash sputtering out of the gramophone horn. Puzzled by this strange spectacle, they look for more rooms to pursue their respective projects. Soon, another ghost appears, this time to Simone, a young asylum patient brandishing a leather bed restraint and her head oozing pink viscous. Eventually, she leaves Simone alone, and the students turn back to get answers. Back issues of newspapers about the college reveal a history of highly pressured artists, missing people, and the mysterious Lowen Sanatorium, the predecessor to the college's main building. The students agree to leave, but opening doors is now impossible, as they cannot physically touch them. In the chaos and confusion, Bernie is accosted by a third ghost, an asylum orderly who mistakes him for a patient. Violence ensues between them, escalating further when Bernie reaches for his gun, but luckily the ghost disappears before Bernie does any real damage. Visibly shaken, Bernie searches for a phone to alert campus security, but that method of escape also proves useless, as the phone responds with static while shadows warp and dance above. Leo speculates that the sleeping guard could in fact be dead since he has slept through all the noise. The group are somewhat relieved though when he suddenly turns up to escort them out of the building for breaking the curfew. The students oblige without hesitation, but their hopes soon come crashing down as the guard steps out into the dark, but the group cannot follow. By this point, all the students can do is try to find another way out. They pass the student bathrooms which Maya goes to use. As the others wait outside, Maya looks into a mirror by the sinks and sees their reflection trussed up in a straitjacket. Seeing this is too much for them, and in a maddening frenzy they begin tearing at their own face. The others rush in to help, but not before Maya has lost a significant amount of blood.
So here we are with Maya unconscious and all of you in the bathroom trying to bring her back, I believe. Them, thank you. Sorry, listeners, if there's any lack of continuity, it's been over a month.
What, we've been in this bathroom for a whole month?
After our investigators have been in the bathroom for a month, they still haven't given up on Maya.
Okay, so they are completely unconscious. My attempt at first aid has failed. There's a lot of blood, right?
Yes, definitely blood. Definitely around the face area. A lot of probably skin missing. I think, yeah. It's not good.
Did we manage to obtain some bandages in the end to, like, wrap around their face?
Oh, yeah.
I think you used some of your clothing.
Yeah. Lovely, yeah. Clean, sterile clothing that we've been wearing all day on the horrible face wounds. That'll be fine.
Better than nothing, eh?
That's true. That's true.
Is it one of these bathrooms with, like, a towel roller or kind of individual paper towels that you pull out of the holder, or is it just got the hot air?
That is a very good question. And you know what? The Boston College of Modern Arts is a very, you know, modern facility, since it's about modern art. So I'll say it has the paper towels and it has the blow dryers.
Can you fix somebody's horrible face wounds by just rubbing their face back and forth under a hand dryer to dry all of the wounds? Does that work?
Yeah, just wait till it clots.
That sounds like a thing you do by pushing your first aid roll, right?
I could
and then
push
you
the
kill
roll.
I'm terrified it's one of those Dyson high capacity winds and just chunks of face flying.
Just holding okay. Maya by the ankles.
Maya's now delicious. You've cooked Maya into perfection.
Medium well.
Oh no. I can't push it. I've only got 45% and I can't kill a party member. That's awful.
Well,
I'm not Howl.
That is a spoiler for every other scenario we've ever played.
Yeah.
No spoiler.
Okay. Does anybody have better first aid than 45%?
No, I've got 40.
I've got 45, same as you.
Yeah. It would count as a pushed roll, but yeah.
I'm happy to let you awaken Maya without a successful first aid, but obviously you can't regain that hit point without a successful first aid.
Yeah.
And I don't know about infections. Who knows?
It's a one shot. It'll be fine. In which case, I think we try and bring them round, right?
Bring them around slowly, though.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. After some gentle shaking and talking, Maya, of course, you're still indefinitely insane. So you're feeling very fragile. But I'll say that your bout has passed, and not only do you not want to peel your face off anymore, but also you probably are not happy with what you have done, and you're in terrible, terrible pain.
Do I recall why I did this?
Not in your logical mind.
Cool.
You know that it felt important at the time.
Okay, so I do know I did it, but I don't really fully know. Okay.
Yes.
Maya, can you hear us? Can you see?
Why does everything hurt so much? Why does everything hurt?
Maya, what happened to you? Your face.
You just started screaming and we ran in to see what on earth was going on.
We just found you like that. I tried to patch it up, but it's a lot.
It's these fucking ghosts. I was wrong. I thought they were nice. I thought they're trying to get, I don't know, they just want to hurt.
Did one of them do this? Did somebody attack you?
They made me do it. I don't know. I don't know what happened. I don't. Do you have anything a bit stronger than the smokes?
You could try raiding a cabinet somewhere. The big boss have one somewhere.
Fuck. How bad does it look?
Um,
he's, Leo kind of cocks his head a little bit, trying to think of the best way to explain.
Listen, they can do amazing things these days. Plastic surgeons. Seriously. Don't worry about it. You're going to be fine. We'll get you to a hospital, right?
I think that's priority number one, right? We try and get out of the building still. And then we can get Maya to a hospital, and I can find those fucks from that society, and I can punch him in the goddamn face.
I'll hold him down for you.
I'm more than happy to assist with that as well, but yeah, you're right.
Yeah, you're right. We gotta get out of here first.
Out first.
Nobody goes anywhere else on their own again. Not even to the bathroom, okay?
Okay, right.
Especially not to the bathroom.
Yeah. Okay. Then, what are our options? We were heading somewhere, weren't we, before this happened? A month ago?
There was something about, you know, that guard that you told us about, and he said something about a blue room?
Yeah.
Where all the others were? Is that right?
You have seen a blue
door. We were going to the library. We were getting records about them.
Oh, yes.
We're trying to figure out if the... I don't even know if it makes sense now. I just thought that they were just trying to get... I just didn't think they'd be so goddamn hateful.
You're gonna be okay. You are.
I mean, at least my parents will recognize me.
Okay, well, wherever we're going, we can certainly pick up something strong for you, Maya, and yeah, maybe just keep going for now. It's not like we could go and follow that damn guard after all that.
Yeah. Phaedra?
It's-a-me.
Are there any of
to
the...
keep him.
It's-a-me. Are there any of the lecturers that we know perhaps sometimes might smell like they have some desk whiskey? Maybe we could go hunt out one of their offices to get some desk whiskey.
Good idea.
Ooh, that's fun. Now, I don't believe that we currently have offices on the map, but we're not using the map.
Hey!
Grub luck! Yay!
Who's got the lowest?
Hooray! I got 61.
62.
55?
35.
Okay, yep.
Maya to the world!
Oh!
Nice.
Maya. It's Maya. Not Maya's day, is it?
Rolled a 79.
Yeah.
That's a pass, right?
Okay, so you don't know of
what?
Any... interestingly, you don't know of any art lecturer with a drinking problem. Which, now that you think about it, is very strange.
Okay.
Chug hand sanitizer. That's got to be around, right?
That sounds like a terrible plan. We're not going to start drinking turps or something from one of the arts.
That's a very dark ending.
Yes, they hold themselves up and drink turps until they go blind.
just give me another J. Oh my God. I'll get through it.
Okay, so we go and we try and do some reading to work out what we can do. Is that where we are? We've tried doors and windows and they don't work.
I don't know what else we can do.
Worst case, we'll figure something out about what they were doing here, and worst case, we'll have plenty of stuff to start a fire with to get out of this fucking place, if that's what it comes to.
I get the feeling if we made a hole in the wall, we still wouldn't get out.
Yeah.
I wasn't saying it was a way for us to get out.
Yeah.
Oh shit, Maya.
Let's keep that way in reserve, okay?
You stop that.
Let's not even think about that right now.
We ain't there yet, and tomorrow morning... everybody else turns up to this building, right? Worst case scenario, we just gotta last the night.
Except that security guard could get out like it wasn't anything at all.
Yeah,
something tells me that people who aren't us can go in and out.
Yeah, but they'll be able to see that, right? We'll be able to explain it to people, and they'll be able to bring us food, and I don't know, get a...
I mean, if it's even the
expert,
same
I don't know.
Building to them.
The guard saw us.
Yeah, but then, like, he didn't come storming back in looking for us.
No.
And he's never come back, has he?
Because to him...
No.
No.
No, to him, he stormed off and either forgot about us, or when he came back in, we weren't there.
It was almost as if we didn't exist once he left the room.
Oh. I don't like this.
It's like a kaleidoscope or a prism. We could just be broken off into some other spectrum of light, and they can never see or do anything with us.
We're just making guesses now, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
Let's
yeah,
go to right. the library. Let's do some reading. Let's try and work out if there's anything we can do. Maybe we can talk to one of the ghosts about what happened or something. I don't know. That's how it is in the stories, right? You set something right. Was that Quantum Leap?
Didn't he in the reboot?
Yeah, that was Quantum Leap, but he never got home in the end.
I haven't seen either Quantum Leap.
That's not helpful. This is a really niche reference.
that little girl, she was friendly.
What's well, to start with?
And who was that guy that you spoke to?
The grandpa guy.
Yeah, grandpa guy. You said he was nice, right? They can't all want to make us claw our faces off, surely.
But they're getting worse, right? The first one wasn't so bad. The second one was creepy but nice. The third one pushed me around, and the fourth one made Maya do that. It's getting worse.
Yeah, but yours, Bernie, was an orderly, not a patient.
Still a ghost.
What was yours, Maya?
I think it was another patient. I think.
I don't think we can waste any more time.
No. Come on. Maya, stay close. And we head to the library.
You go to the library. So you probably all have used the library before. The Boston College of Modern Art Library. It has a wide collection of books, resources. You've used in other art projects.
Well, my base level of library use suggests otherwise.
Spark notes.
Well, you don't have to read very well for most of them. It's mostly looking at pictures. Yeah, it includes, like, information on all kinds of art disciplines. And there are also news articles, maps, and more. You find that most of the things you have already found on the internet, but to get another extra little tidbit, I'd like a hard library use roll. You're all welcome to give it a go.
I'm assuming somebody has more than 20%, right?
Oh no, I've only got base 20.
We're the same. Worst students ever.
Yep, no, Leo goes straight towards the music manuscripts.
I'll spend the 7 luck to turn that success into a hard success.
Really?
Yeah, don't worry about it.
28 now?
I got us the information.
Okay, Maya, bring the group luck down.
Oh, we're gonna die so bad.
Although, no. You don't have to. I've rolled 008, which is a hard success.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
There you go.
And do you take it back? Do you regain the life points?
If you'll let me.
I'll allow it. Aww. This honestly, it's a bit too self-destructive, even for my taste. So, Simone, you find yourself looking at previous students' dissertations, and you find one by a postgrad by the name of Dr. William Field. You don't know, they probably weren't a student here, but it's for some reason the dissertation is here. They investigated the practices of mental health facilities in the early 1900s. The research focused on the often horrible conditions of these institutions, which were meant to offer respite to their residents. The author condemned practices such as risky and unnecessary medical procedures and the occasional habit of burying patients on site when abandoned there by their families.
Is this place basically built on a burial ground?
It's starting to sound that way.
Sounds more like it wasn't built on a burial ground. A burial ground was added to it before it was transitioned.
Yeah. They made it one.
Yeah, that's kind of what I mean. It's like it was the hospital and then it was the college. Yeah. But somewhere on the grounds. Maybe like a more modern building was built over wherever they dumped the bodies.
And as you are contemplating this, you start getting a surge of pain or empathy. You can't tell. Maya, at first you think it's your face because it's been coming in waves, right? It numbs itself and then something brushes against it or you feel something and the pounding pain continues and then it passes and then it starts again and it goes like that and the pain suddenly starts surging, but this time it's spreading to your whole body and everyone else. You also start feeling this pain and this suffering that almost feels like it's permeating the entire room around you, like this is the accumulation of pain and suffering that has occurred in this building. And then you glimpse in the corner of your eye some sort of shadowy apparition, then another one, then another one. They're moving around the room at high speed. It's really hard. It's like your eyes are playing tricks on you, but you know better now. And after a few moments, as the movement continues and becomes denser and denser and more undefined, it's kind of like a torrent of smoke and tar, and it's overwhelming. And please roll me power.
Okay, I've got a 50. And that's a... Ooh, that's a 0-3.
Very nice.
Well, hey. I got an extreme success.
I'm just shy of a hard pass as well.
I rolled 100.
No!
Maya's doing great, everybody. Maya's doing
okay,
so good.
That's a fumble.
Forbidden.
Oh, Maya. No, Maya.
This is not right.
Oh, Maya.
Maya. Oh, no. Okay, so here's what I'm going to say. So we have two extremes, one normal and one fumble. Is that right?
Yeah.
So, okay. I'm going to take it one person at a time because you see something slightly different. Leo, You had a normal pass. You experience everything I just said. And then you start hearing screams of pain and suffering and incomprehensible phrases shouted out into the void, but you just can't make any of it out. It's just an overwhelming torrent around you and it makes no sense and it's just the embodiment of pain. And that's what you experience. For our extreme successes, Bernie and Simone, you connect a bit deeper to what you're seeing. You open your eyes and you manage to see past the dense and undefined torrent. You start seeing an overlay of an image on top of that blur. And this image is the sanatorium, as you imagine that it used to be. The scent hits you of body fluids and disinfectants. You see the yellowed walls with war posters, the muttering, mumbling sounds, orderlies barking orders, drilling sounds, screaming. It's all there and it intensifies as it goes, but you can tell that it's almost like you've split and part of you is in the past and part of you is still in the present. And the moving ghostly forms, sometimes you glimpse them and they become clearer. They make pained expressions, angry expressions. The eye contact with them is disoriented and fleeting. And then you turn around and you feel a powerful hose of water against your skin and your clothes rip off, and someone refusing their pills pushes them out of their hand and they fall on your face. And that all happens among that torrent of screams, shouts, and overwhelming sense, and the room, the library room that's no longer a library room, feels packed, and it feels so full of ghostly forms and pains and screams and sensations and senses that it might burst. Maya.
No kidding.
Your experience with a fumble is slightly different. You completely disconnect from this torrent, and you find yourself underground in this silence, and you can hear echoes, you can hear bites and chewing and swallowing, but you can't see yourself and you can't feel yourself, and you smell. Not disinfectant and body fluids. You smell death and flesh. And then you look up, but you're not yourself. You are a skeleton, your eyes somehow functioning, but you're pure bones and you're half buried in the ground. And you can't move, but somehow you can observe. And you see in the distance a fire, a light. And you see forms gathered around the fire. And these forms, you can start seeing them a bit more clearly. They're eating something. And then you notice a very familiar scarf being spit out in one of their mouths. A scarf exactly like the one Simone is wearing. And then suddenly you're all back into the library. Everyone roll me sanity.
Yeah, no shit.
So much cacophony. Make it stop.
58's a fail.
It's 1d6.
Pass to me.
That's zero. Leo is fine. Leo's going to make it out of this.
Apparently I did make it stop.
That was a narrow pass for me. 66 against 69.
That's one for you.
Okay.
What about Maya?
Is a 99 a fumble?
What is your sanity base?
The starting sanity was 45.
No, your current sanity.
35.
That is a fumble, yes. You have fumbled twice in a row.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, amazing my work. God.
Have you considered putting your dice in jail?
Burn
the dice. Oh.
Yeah. We're way past the jail part.
Exorcise the dice.
One of these is a Red Markets dice, so I think it's trying.
Oh, trying its best.
I'm sorry. does a fumble mean... Max loss,
isn't it?
Yeah.
That's
the
mean.
The dice are trying to tell a specific story. A story that's not good for Maya.
Yeah, I guess you lose 8 sanity and you go straight into another bout, I suppose.
Oh,
which body
Lord.
Part are you the least attached to after your face?
Am I the least attached? Maya would probably be a leg. Right? Because she's a fine artist, so she'd want to keep the hands, right? Or they'd want to keep the hands.
Beautiful.
When you say 8, Phaedra, I thought it was a d6 loss for a fail.
For yours, but Maya had a different vision than you, didn't they?
Of course.
Slightly different. It was a bit more personal, a bit more foreboding in some ways.
Just to prep you, I lost 5.
Oh.
Well, we're all having a good time here, and that's what matters.
Yeah, I haven't hit my indefinite limit. I'm one away from my indefinite.
We'll still need to roll me intelligence.
Yes. I'm quite intelligent.
Okay.
And so is my character.
Nothing to declare but my genius.
I passed my intelligence. That's not what I wanted.
Oh, no.
In fact, I've hard passed my intelligence.
Well, that is not... So we have 2 bouts.
I definitely know what
happened.
Oh, dear. Yeah.
Is this going to be a case of me and Lydia getting out of the scenario again and the others not?
I mean, it might be. Look that way.
Phaedra?
Hmm? It's me.
Do I need to do another intelligence?
No, because you're indefinite. Cool. There's no amount of feeling dumb today that can save you from this.
Just wanted to check.
It's all good. Thank you for checking. Unfortunately, yeah, you cannot be saved. Your bout is immediate and unavoidable. And can I get a D10 from the Bout of Madness people, please?
Indeed. One.
I also rolled a one.
All right. Okay, a one. Interesting. Honestly, I think the most reasonable thing for everyone right now is to want to run away. Of course, you know that you can't just get out of there. But I feel like in your bout, especially for Bernie, who's, you know, relatively undamaged physically, and maybe a bit more hopeful, Benny would want to, like, amp up to, like, 100. The urgency and need and franticness and callousness of getting out of there and moving, this continuous movement, no sitting, no staying, no wandering, just doing, because thinking about it and studying and spending ages in the library has not helped you now. It's the time for action. And I feel like Maya, in a similar vein, wants all of this to be over, but I feel like Maya has suffered way more, and it's way more confused. So for Maya, I'm going to say the running away is less targeted and more everyone around you now also has no face and everything you see is terrifying. And you're just trying to avoid all stimuli and just not be in terrifying fear no matter what it takes.
Yeah, Maya's gonna book it into the stacks then.
The stacks?
Yeah, it's the library.
Oh, run into the books?
Yeah, like, if it's a big enough library, Maya's gonna try to lose everyone else in the stacks, like, in the shelves and stuff.
Wonderful.
I don't know how big the library is. If it's small, this is not a great plan.
I'd say it's probably not a massive library because I had students. It's a medium-sized library. But first, before you start acting on your bouts, please give me another D10 for duration.
5.
7.
Okay, that's a medium amount of time. Okay.
Okay, so if Maya is booking it off into the stacks, I think Bernie suddenly just goes, we haven't tried the upstairs windows. And he's just going to go to any windows in the library and start trying the catches. And if the window won't open, he's going to take a chair or a table leg or something to the glass of the window.
Okay, so Maya, you run into the distance, disappear between books. Bernie, you're hitting stuff into windows, but the things move through the windows and then they hit onto something and then you feel the kind of push back and it hurts your arms. And Leo, you're wondering why everyone's exaggerating. It was terrible, but what's happening? And
yeah.
I guess Simone, you understand more, but you're still not happy about what's happening to the party right now.
Not in the slightest.
Like, I get it, but also please don't.
Guys, where are you going?
Reading the books hasn't done anything of any use. We just saw stuff, and it's the same up here. I can't get out of the window. Is there an attic? Is there a roof? Do you think we can get off the roof?
I mean, okay, no, we haven't looked up there, but surely it's going to be just the same thing, isn't it?
Where's Maya gone?
Maybe we
said
could,
we weren't going to go apart.
Maybe we could at least, we could get cell reception on the roof, maybe, if we can get up there.
Yeah, let's, where's Maya? Let's go up to the roof and try the cell reception.
Yeah. Okay, God, where are you, Maya?
Maya, you ran in between the stacks and disappear, and you're running and running and running, and the kind of, the impact of the air on your face stings so painfully, and your eyes start tearing up, and you're running in the same direction, and it feels like you're never hitting a wall. You're just running and running and running and running, and then you run into the other three, even though you left them behind you, and you're very confused.
Do they have faces again?
Oh, not yet.
Okay.
Can I just say, only in Call of Cthulhu with the sentence, do they have faces again?
Yep.
Be a valid sentence.
Yep.
But they're in front of you. You try to run away, but somehow, in a way that doesn't make sense, this straight corridor led you back to where you were before.
Don't run off like that, okay? We've got to stick together.
Where's your face? What happened to your faces?
Oh shit, they're losing it.
What?
And I think Maya's gonna run again.
Something wrong with my face?
Don't let her run off. We can't keep splitting up like this.
We're talking, but all Maya can hear is...
Yeah, the chewing noises.
Simone's gonna chase her.
So Leah was wondering about trying to calm Maya down by playing some sort of slow, smooth synths out of his... various devices.
Okay, so you set up in the library and start playing music.
Mm-hmm. But like really calm, soothing synths of a nice frequency.
Okay, I like that. It's like psychoanalysis through music.
Yeah.
Okay.
Lo-fi vibes to regain your sanity too.
Yeah. And what is Bernie doing? Because Simone and Maya have run further into the library, which is the opposite of getting out of here, and Leo is setting up to play music.
I think what Bernie's going to do is, you know that thing kids do sometimes when they really need a wee, where they hop from foot to foot? He's going to do that between Leo and the other two. Like, we said we weren't going to split up, but now we are splitting up. And then he's going to be like, Why are you setting up the keyboard? I don't understand. I'm turning into Christopher Walken.
Walken, yeah.
This Call of Cthulhu scenario has had more to do with pee than I expected.
That is the case. And don't forget, Bernie, you're still at the height of your bouts. Don't be too reasonable.
But Bernie, yeah. Bernie.
I mean, what Bernie, are you
shush.
Doing? We need to do something.
Just, I'm trying to calm Maya down, all right? And maybe it'll happen with you as well.
What? Where do I put... I can help plug things in if it'll hurry it up. We gotta do something.
All right. This thing goes in here.
I'm just gonna start grabbing cables and jamming them into places on the back of your keyboard.
Okay. As long as you specify in the keyboard. That's the important thing.
Right.
Just
my
jamming
word,
cables
keeper.
Everywhere.
What are you implying?
Good grief.
Ben is probably doing it very poorly, and possibly damaging your keyboard.
Give it here. Just take some breaths or something, okay?
We gotta move, we gotta do something. Playing the goddamn keyboard isn't gonna help us, Leo.
You telling me to do this?
I think you know...
Just Josh.
You know at this point you have to take the situation into your own hands, Benny.
Yeah, I'm gonna pick up the keyboard under one arm, and I'm gonna run towards the other two. Sorry,
but
Jackson.
The speakers are over here.
Well, bring the goddamn speakers then.
Oh, fucking hell.
Okay. As all three of you run, and not you, Leo, you're still reasonable enough, you get the slips of reality. The bookcases disappear briefly, they become walls, then they become doors, then they become corridors, then you lose everyone, then you find everyone. It's all very confusing, very disorienting. It's almost as if the direction you're running has no internal consistency. The corridors first far too long, then there are bars on the windows where they didn't used to have bars, and there's random pills on the ground, and then you're back by the bookcases, but then you've turned taken a corner, but without realizing you've taken a corner, and just everything is appearing, reappearing, the sudden steps, you almost trip, and it's very confusing. It's like you're in at least two buildings at the same time. And eventually, as you run, you find your way back to exactly where you came from. And this time, you see the blue door in the distance. It's a storage room in front of it, now that you can see the sign, the storage room.
So, if the stuff that is, like, from the past has a certain, like, I don't know, griminess or, you know, colour palette of paint, does the door look more of the past or more of the current building?
Good question. Before we do that, I'd like, first of all, a power roll to figure out if Leo is also seeing that or if Leo is just...
Okay.
Lost you.
Chasing after me with some jack cables.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically.
And second, I'd like a sanity roll for Simone, because Simone is not in a bout, so Simone gets to lose sanity still.
So. Yeah, I gotta join in. Can't be left behind.
That is a hard pass for the power roll.
Okay, so Leo, you run after them, and at some point they just disappear, and you're still in the library.
Will everyone just stand the fuck still for 1 second?
And you don't even have your keyboard, you just have your cable.
Bernie's got it under his arm and he's playing the chase music.
Well, Simone did indeed lose, so I guess she's going to join you in some insanity. I just got a 70.
1d4 plus 1.
What, d4 plus 1? Okay. Ah, that was a 3.
Okay.
Well, rolled a 2, plus 1 is 3. I can do maths.
Still okay on the indefinite?
Mm-hmm, I'm fine.
Okay. So, you're definitely shaken by the complete inconsistency of the physical world around you and the swing back and forth between the past and the present. And, of course, being somewhere you didn't think you were near that blue door.
Can I see Maya, though?
Yes, Maya is with you, but you can't see Leo. And you can see Bernie shouting after you carrying a keyboard.
Wait for me, I can only play chopsticks.
Maya, you can't run off like that. Come on, we've got to get back. But Bernie, why do you have a keyboard?
Leo wasn't moving. He wanted to play some music.
Oh my God.
You can see the door, right?
Yeah, I can see the door, but you left Leo on his own?
No, he was chasing after his keyboard. That's why I took it.
Come on, we got to go back for him.
Oh, he's not behind me.
No, he's not behind you. Come on, we got to get back. And then, yeah, I can see this door. But we're not going through it without all of us, okay?
Okay, but we should go through it, right?
Yeah.
Maya, are you okay?
Keeper? Am I okay?
You see a little bit of face.
Okay.
The face is starting to return. It's not quite there yet, but an eye appears and then the corner of a mouth, and you're like, it's comforting, I guess.
I'm going to be like hucking books back at them. Not like actively like trying to whip them in the face ring, just the like, you know, when you're just like,
stay
yeah,
back.
Just, yeah. And be like, what happened to your faces? How are you doing that?
I don't think I've done anything to my face.
Why is your eye... Does your eye always been that color?
I'm going to reach up and touch my eye.
In not my
like,
eyeball.
Not like poke myself in the eye. I'm going to poke myself violently in the eye.
I guess not.
I think so.
Would it be fair to say Simone has got a small mirror in her handbag? Just like a little makeup mirror?
Yeah.
She's going to take that out and... worriedly check her face and then pass it around everybody else.
Maya, you don't like what you see when you look at your face.
Yeah, that mirror's gonna get, as soon as it's in Maya's hands, it's gonna go straight to the floor and get smashed.
Fair enough.
smashy, yeah, smashy.
That's bad luck, but I guess you don't really need it.
Couldn't get much worse luck, could it, to be honest? I mean, how many's Maya got again? 35?
No, Maya, yeah.
Not a lot.
Luck, yes, yes.
As soon as you smash that mirror, Maya, you kind of snap back into... I don't want to call it reality, because I feel like that's, you know, a bit of an overstatement. But you snap back into facing, and the overwhelming fear is whelming fear now. It's not overwhelming. It's
my friends no longer look like demons.
Yeah, I'm the only one who looks like a demon here. Phew. it's a lot. But here we are. And that's enough of your bout for now, but that doesn't mean you're still not on edge.
Okay, where's Leo?
Doing a keyboard solo, apparently.
Whoa, not without this. I thought he was following me. I'm sorry. I think the ghosts are making us see things. I promise I haven't done anything to my face, Maya. I'm sorry.
Let's just go back for him.
What is Leo doing at this point where you ran deeper into the library and then found everyone had disappeared in a very unexpected way?
Oh, Leo is definitely marching around with kind of bulging veins starting to sing on his neck and perspiring a lot. He is hella mad that Bernie's just taken the keyboard away. Like, this is one of the most important things in his life. So yeah, he's marching around the various sort of in between stacks of books, just shouting Bernie's name, like, get the fuck back here with my fucking keyboard, you fuck!
Love it.
And I'm assuming none of us can hear that, right? Or can we hear it?
You moved away from the library.
Oh, so we're not even in the library. It's not like a blue door has appeared in the library.
No,
we're
you're like in a corridor different area of the university, yeah. You've run far.
Do we have any idea where we are?
You're not very sure, because everything is permanently confusing in terms of the university doesn't look... It looks partly like it always looks, but also partly looks like nothing you've seen before.
Yeah.
So it's really hard to orient yourselves properly.
I'm not sure if we're in the university building or if we're in the asylum.
Oh, both.
Yeah. Maybe we should just shout for Leo and... I mean, he's got good ears, right?
Yeah. He's a musician, right?
Yeah. Leo! Leo!
Actually, my listen score is terrible.
Amazing.
Oh no, bad musician.
Yeah.
Dude... Looking around, you said, like, do we recognize it at all? Does it look like, are there any architectural cues in that, like, does it look like it's from the same era as the building we were in? Does it look like it's a newer development? Does it look older? Is there anything we can get from that?
The door or the building in general?
Yes. Just kind of looking around where we are right now.
Okay. The door looks familiar. The storage room. You feel like you've glimpsed the storage room before on your day-to-day. In terms of the building, it looks like a combination of old and current, but in a confusing amalgamation that makes no sense. So you recognize some landmarks, but some are completely different, and it doesn't seem to 100% make sense, so you can't orient yourselves very easily.
Okay. So, I think at this point, after getting a bit out of breath and obviously not getting anywhere, Leo is going to try something else. He's going to try and think back a bit to that cacophony of voices, and maybe the others heard something clearer in there. Okay, they've run off, but maybe if he can try and listen to them again, he'll get a better idea. So rather than just use his ears alone, he's going to get out a little recorder, plug in a microphone and put headphones on, and almost like a metal detector, start walking around, maybe further out a bit from the library as well, and out into the corridor, and just start pointing the microphone to see if he can pick up anything that he maybe didn't hear previously that he could focus on.
Oh, I like that. Okay, please roll me another power roll with a penalty die.
A penalty die?
Yeah, I made it up. You're welcome. I am avant-garde as is this scenario.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, if you meant a bonus die, then that would be a hard. If you meant a penalty, then it would be just shy of a pass. I can spend the luck to make it a pass.
Depends on what you want. If you want to be safe from sanity losses, then you can accept your success. If you want to be dragged down and feel what the other ones feel, then you might want to accept the fail.
I mean, Leah wants his fucking keyboard. That's what he wants. So, I guess it would be more the latter if that brings him closer to the others and therefore his keyboard.
Yeah, so you let yourself get dragged down by these voices in the same way you assume the other people did. You kind of concentrate, you let them permeate you, and then you have exactly the same vision in this library as everyone else did before. Not everyone, not Maya. Maya is special. But everyone else. And the old sanatorium and the modern art school start blending into each other, and you realize this is the horrifying reality that the others must live in. And now that you've experienced that, for the greater good, roll me sanity, please.
The greater good. Okay. That is not a pass by any means, but it's not a fumble at least.
1d6!
Way. Oh, 5! Here we go! Finally joining you guys!
Was it worth it, Leo?
Oh yeah, totally. For the keyboard. I want my keyboard. Yeah. For the keyboard!
Intelligence, right. Unless you pass your indefinite.
Yep. No, I'm still not anywhere near my indefinite, thank God.
Maybe you'll fail.
No.
You passed?
I passed.
Okay, roll me a d10.
Oh.
An 8.
Let me have a think. I came up with something, but it might be mean.
Do your worst.
Okay. So, what you've been wanting this whole time is to get your keyboard back. And that is because you have this deep-seated belief that music and melody can keep all the horrifying stuff away. But you don't have your keyboard now, so you become obsessed with, at all times, creating music and melody.
Oh.
With whatever you have at your disposal at all times.
Okay.
You may sing, if you want. It's a musical episode now. You don't have to actually sing. You can describe it if you like. I'm gonna be nice. But I'm assuming that at this point, this continuous rhythm, melody, all the words are sing-songy, and you're just trying to, basically the terrifying cacophony, you're just trying to keep it away through the only way you know how to soothe yourself, but you don't have your instruments.
Yeah, so Leo doesn't really sing much at all, so if he does try and regurgitate some form of sound from his mouth, it'll just be like the first bit of a Schoenberg piece, which already sounds like very avant-garde, but he just makes it even more avant-garde because he just can't sing in tune. Next, he tries to look for things like any books or ornaments that he could, I don't know, tap or hit or scrape or something like that. Percussive is better than nothing, I suppose. And all the while he's sort of going further in, going, where the fuck is my keyboard?
Okay, and as you're walking around in Melody looking for your keyboard, and as everyone else is screaming for you walking around, you find yourselves, all four of you, even though you're in different places, standing suddenly right in front of an open door leading to a dark staircase going downwards. And this is where we're going to end today's episode. Thank you so much, everyone. Jason Noxicals, Lydia Tyler, and of course our amazing editing team. You've all been the best. And a big, massive thank you to our listeners. You're all exceptional. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure to check out the scenario book on our website and DriveThruRPG. Maybe send it some love with a review. Your listens, comments, and ratings are incredibly helpful. But if you want a way to support us further, please consider joining us over on patreon.com/starsaright, where you get access to episodes a week early. And don't forget, you can get 10% off on chaosium.com using code STARS10, 1 year per customer only. We'll be back shortly to record Beyond the Madness for our Cult Elder and Avatar tier patrons. They get access to behind-the-scenes discussion after every episode, as well as bonus episodes, exclusive Discord channels, and more. Speaking of Discord, you can find an invite link to our Discord community, as well as all of our social media links on our website at starsaright.com and in the description of this episode. Come join us! Now, farewell, dear listeners, until the stars are right again.
But wait, what's that? Our cult has inducted a new member. Welcome, Moth, and thank you for your support on Patreon. May the omens be ever in your favor. Your support means the world to us. Let's spread those good vibes by reading out one of our latest reviews. If you'd like your own review read out on the show, go to starsaright.com/reviews, where you can find links to all the platforms you can rate us on. Ian Morgan said, "Genius. This is, hands down, the best Call of Cthulhu live play podcast. The pace and play is just great, and the relationships between the players translate into their characters, who are acted brilliantly. Fedra, the Keeper, has a great balance of drama and action with investigation and allowing the characters to interact and engage together. The NPCs are great too. Most of all, it is fun. The game is taken seriously, but the players don't take themselves too seriously and are clearly enjoying it, which helps the listener to fit right in as a happy participant. This is how to do a live play podcast." Oh my god, Ian, thank you. That is high praise. Honestly, I give your review 5 stars.